Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Anders Iniesta, do you know who he is, Seb?
Anders Iniesta.
Anders? You don't know Anders! You don't know Anders from Dickey Farm? Hello and welcome to season two of Reminding You Why You Love Football, a Monday Owl podcast. We've had a couple of week break after a 50-episode first series. Some might say we just decided to call it a series because we wanted a break. Others that it was all part of Seb's big plan. For the last 2 weeks, we've been fixing Seb's garage.
I wish.
The roof is fixed, but Seb, still not fit for purpose.
It's been a hell of a job, hasn't it?
Oh, dear, I really wish that was true.
Yeah, Seb's been talking about fixing his garage. It's the second longest running DIY saga in Monday Owl history. Second only to James Bird's curtain rails of 2018, which no one would really know about, but it got pretty dicey at times. And I think he was on the verge of being made single if these curtains hadn't gone up. But if this is the first time you've listened and you're choosing the beginning of season two as your entry point, I would say, great, good to have you here, but also you may have come too late. I'm your host, Owen Blackhurst. And the day after this podcast, this episode is released, on May the 10th, is Dennis Bergkamp's 55th birthday. And so joining me today, in the spirit of that, are James, goal against Newcastle Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'll explain why in a minute. Seb, goal against Argentina White.
Oh.
And Tommy, goal against Leicester Stewart.
Ooh.
He doesn't remember it. All right, ask
I
that.
Think I do.
And just so you know, so James, Newcastle, total fucking fluke, and you'll never stop banging on about it.
I thought that's where you might go.
Seb, big believer that it's the Falklands, not the Malvinas, so that's why you've scored against Argentina. And Tommy, I think you've got the techers to score that goal against Leicester, but I also think you were guessing. I found this goal yesterday, which I hadn't saw for a while, and I think this is the Dennis Bergkamp goal. This is in his Ajax days, the most prolific days of his career, before his ill-fated spell at Inter Milan, and then obviously his great revival at Arsenal. Ball by Wimbyonk. Look at that touch.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's me.
Yeah. Didn't expect a lob there.
And I wanted to show this because of Louis van Gaal's trench coat. So let's watch that one man time. What's the touch to take it away from the defender in midair here? Oh,
fucking hell.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
And you expect him to smash it.
Look at LVG, look at the coat.
And I think that's me, Seb. Impudence, arrogance, a little bit of flair.
I can't disagree. I think you've got all four of them pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
Wimbyonk, look at this for a pass, though. Look at that. He knows he's there. Lovely. So.
Impudence, bit of flair, and best in the early 90s.
Mid to late.
Yeah.
Early, I was a mosher with an undercut.
That was your Inter Milan time.
Never seen pictures of this.
When's your Reading Festival era? Like that picture.
They went back and forth. Year one, 95.
Yeah.
Biker jacket, long hair, undercut, scowl. Looked a bit like Kate Moss.
That picture of it. Yeah.
No, that was the second year. That was the second year.
To be fair.
I only say that because someone put it on an Instagram, a Facebook post once. All right, Kate Moss.
That's cracking.
The lad who put that comment on there, actually, I don't talk to him anymore because he tried to glass me in Dubai after drinking half a bottle of Jameson's. Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
right.
Moving on.
That'll do it.
Fear in the Gulf.
I wanted to start a quick change of pace before we get into the episode. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a trigger warning because we had an email in from a listener, Sadler Sam. So if anyone is dealing with anything at the moment, I just thought I'd just let you know there's some themes in here that might upset you, but it's anyway. About a month ago, I received an email that had come through our website from our from Kitty, who works at our fulfillment team, and said it wasn't. I've been asked to forward this on to you, and I read it at the time and circulated it around the team, and I didn't necessarily have the words to reply at the time. And this week, I was thinking about what we should do for the pod. And I went back to Sam and I said, look, sorry, I didn't get back to you. XXXXX. We don't need to delve into that, but I'd love to share it on the podcast. Mm. And he said, I'd love you to do it. It would be great. It would be a great way to, well, I'll get through the thing. So this is from Sadler Sam. And he firstly apologised that it's a little long, but I hope you see it needs the full story. No need to apologise. Many moons ago when Mundial launched, my best friend Jamie got me a subscription for my birthday. It was an excellent birthday present and one that has brought me real joy over the years, through the magazines, the podcasts, and very recently a really poignant moment which I'd like to tell you about. Jamie and I were brothers in everything but blood. We were soulmates, kindred spirits, the lot. He was born up in Liverpool and supported Everton, and me, a West Midlands lad, a Walsall fan. He moved to my area when he was young, and from the age of 11, we were attached at the hip. We grew up together, went to our first gigs and festivals together. We flew to our first World Cups and Euros together. Above all else, we loved each other dearly and supported each other through our darkest moments and celebrated our happiest times. I was best man at his wedding, and he would have been at mine. From the way I've written the above, you've probably guessed that Jamie isn't with us anymore. On July the 9th, 2022, he suffered a cardiac arrest totally out of the blue. He'd only sent me a song on Spotify that morning and we discussed meeting up later that day. By lunchtime, he was rushed to King's College Hospital in South East London, and 2 days later, we took the horrendous decision to switch the machines off and say goodbye. He was 37. Last year, my girlfriend and I moved south to start a new life by the sea in Brighton. We love it here, but the move was a little bit bittersweet as it would have actually brought us closer to Jamie and his wife, as they'd spent the last 10 years in Beckenham, which was part of our thinking when we originally started to look in Brighton. During the move, I had to make some cuts to what I could take to our new pad for space and practicality. I, foolishly I will admit, decided now was the time to move on my first few editions of Mundial and give them to a charity shop. Hopefully to win the magazine a few more fans in my old home of High Wycombe. Each time I'd get the latest copy through, now that I'm a subscriber again, I'd regret getting rid of the old ones. Jamie's incredible wife, Katie, struggled hugely with losing Jamie, so suddenly and so totally unexpectedly. After 18 months of darkness, she decided it was time to move to Sydney in Australia to start a new life, and we couldn't be happier for her. When I popped over a couple of weeks ago to see her, she'd put together a box of some of Jamie's favourite things that she wanted me to have. Some books, a couple of games consoles, and his basketball that we used to shoot around while we chewed the fat and put the world to rights. After unpacking the box, however, the most amazing thing was still to be seen. At the bottom of the box were the same copies of Mundial magazine that I'd given away, and they'd made their way back to me via Jamie. Safe to say, I'll be keeping these very close. Thanks for everything you do, guys. You brighten up my week with your podcast, and it genuinely is my favourite thing to listen to. One final thing to add. Your latest edition fell through the door on the 18th of March, on what would have been Jamie's 39th birthday.
Oh, fucking hell.
I miss him more than I could ever describe over an email. And thanks for reading. I'm writing this on the day Katie boards that flight to Australia. Thank you, Sadler Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
Beautiful. A beautiful story from something so tragic. And I think that's one of the things I think... one of the things I'm most proud of, that we get stuff like that.
Yeah, I am as well. I said that to him in reply, that I am. It's very easy to say you don't get that with world soccer or whatever else and be sort of pithy about it, but you don't. So, yeah, it's long to being able to, I suppose, help people through things like that in any small way. And just thanks again for sharing it. And, you know, please, it's not like... Often the reviews we get are people sharing personal stories, and that's what we want.
Really. Yeah,
like, definitely. We know the podcast's good.
Yeah.
We only want reviews so more people can listen to it, but it's the personal stories we get that make a difference. So on we go. A somber start to season two.
No, it's really brave him.
Yeah. It just...
That was the noise James made when he has to try and deal with emotions. We are an award-winning podcast, a 4.9 on Apple, a 5-star on Spotify, and this is Reminding You Why I Love Football, a part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello, listeners. Normally, Adventures in Clubland would be here. It's coming in a bit. We've got a big few months coming up, And we got some feedback in the Discord where maybe the most loyal, most daft...
certainly.
People with time on their hands, I don't know. But that's where we go directly. That's where we go directly for feedback. And And Seb's been sort of asking questions here, there and everywhere. And it turns out a lot of what you like listening to is just us talking shit. So we're going to try and add a bit more of that in. Without going totally freestyle every week, because I just think it's a recipe for the disaster. Because if more than one of us turns up in a bad mood, there's going to be a brawl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which people might enjoy, but it wouldn't be best for
in
our,
4K. You know,
for our personal interests.
No, it wouldn't be good for us. So the great thing about football,
Oh God, they're at it again.
Third week in a row.
Oh Jesus, Birdo's got another broken cheekbone.
Looks good though.
He's wearing one of those masks.
He looks more like John Merrick than ever.
Looks a bit like Kate Moss.
They're doing tables, ladders and chairs this week. Brilliant.
Anyway. So I've been thinking about this. Seb or Tommy or both has dutifully stuck a load of football anniversaries and birthdays and non-football anniversaries and things in the script. So we've got a few highlighted, which I'm going to talk about, but also I'm going to freestyle it this week coming up, as well as being John Gregory's birthday and Anders Iniesta. Don't know who he is, Seb, but...
Anders Iniesta.
Anders? You don't know Anders? You don't know Anders from Dickey Farm? You should see him weave that tractor on ploughing matches. Really? Spaces that don't exist. You don't know Anders? Respecter of the turf.
Oh, he's a big respecter of the turf, isn't he? Keep the ball on the turf.
Three-time winner of the John Deere Tractor Award.
The first thing I would like to talk about is, back in the late 80s, Elton John became Watford chairman this week in history. Now, I think it is one of my favourite football stories. Everything we know about how Graham Taylor basically saved Elton John from alcoholism and, you know, cocaine abuse. And that just the simple fact that Elton, who's a bit of a fucking weirdo, yeah, right, and that's all right. You know, we're all weirdos. We know a lot of weirdos. But you know, the you know, playing piano in Pinner to going on to being Rocket Man to going on to being spending £1 million a month on flowers or whatever it was, to becoming sort of like royalty to Mad Glasses to Glastonbury and all of that, you know, duets with Eminem and Axl Rose and all the shit he's done over the years.
Yeah. Dua Lipa,
yeah. I mean, Ghetto Gospel was a bad song, wasn't it?
Yeah. With Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh. Those who wish.
Those who wish.
Follow me. Good gospel.
Do you remember his I'm Still Standing during the pandemic? It's like fucking Vic Reeves, wasn't it?
It was like someone was doing impression.
But you know what? If you're Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
And you've written a collection of songs he has, you can probably do what you want.
Fuck yeah.
Anyway, so Elton John, Watford chairman. Absolutely fantastic stories. Looks great. There's, you know, chats of him joining in on tours and holding impromptu parties for the players and them just being blown away by like fucking rock royalty being there. But
yeah.
Seb, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
If you could have any musician, past or present, as Yeovil chairman,
yeah,
who would it be?
Well, this might be quite a boring answer.
Oh, no.
But I want my chairman to be sound. Solid, you know, someone you can go for a pint with, but also isn't going to cause too much mischief amongst the backroom staff or amongst it. So I'm going to go.
Oh, God.
It's true. I mean,
he's been thinking about this all week.
I have. I'm going to say Guy Garvey from Elbow. Oh. Someone I could have a pint with post-match.
He's a manic depressive, Seb. Oh, there you go. I suppose. Game recognised game.
No, someone you could have a couple of pints with, but it would keep a steady ship, keep it going, not be too...
And when he was re-signing players, he'd be going, come back to what you know.
That's embrace.
I know. It's a joke.
He has a brilliant...
Stop getting indie wrong.
Sorry. I just think he's... I know he's got... And his lyrics reflect that there's ups and downs, but
he's a pint man.
He's a great pint man, and I think he's just a sensible soul of the earth, just a solid bloke. I want that as my football chair.
Would he be able to take you to the heights? Do you think he'd need to pass it on as you got further up the leagues, or do you think he's got enough to stick around?
No, I think he's got the right people around him. Me, for example. I'm his vice chairman.
Oh, I see.
And he wants to be friends with Guy Garvey. That's what this is.
And final question for you. What if he wants a piano in the boardroom?
Pianos are fine in the boardroom, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I had a piss next to him in the Britain's production.
Yeah, I just think he's standing.
And a chat.
He has a great Radio 6 show. His Radio 6 show is fantastic.
It is very good.
Every time.
One of the good ones.
He's got a good broadcasting voice as well. He's very calming.
Lovely man.
This is what I mean, and when the shit's gone down.
Like me. Yeah. Tommy, Same question to you for Manchester United.
I'm going to say a Manchester United fan who is a singer and guitar player of a Manchester band. Me. You twat.
Very good.
Do you think you could? Because being the chairman of a football club would be.
No,
very
I think
hard.
I'd start drinking again. I think I'd be shit.
You'd be shit.
Yeah, I would be shit.
James.
But just for the glory.
Yeah. I like that. Fair play. You are a musician. You know. Yeah. Not got in on a technicality, James. If you could pick a any musician, past or present, to be the chairman of your beloved Wolverhampton Wanderers, who would it be?
Kendrick Lamar.
Ooh.
An innovator.
Yeah. Yeah.
A man of fine words.
I can't imagine the Gornal Massive are going to want to pimp any butterflies.
I don't know.
Or anything else.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Good kid in a mad city as well.
Good kid in mad city. Just something a bit different.
I thought you were going to go plan.
I understand the Guy Garvey.
Is he going to... Where's Kendrick going to live?
Techno. Maybe Techno would. Yeah, down by the...
Kung Fu Kenny and Techno. Yeah.
Nah, just something a bit different and someone that would. I don't want Guy Garvey. I think he's brilliant, but I don't want. I don't necessarily want
Chalk
sensibility.
Cheese, yeah.
I'm not looking at football.
What do you think Kendrick will do? What do you think he's going to do to the Wolves that'll change things?
Americanize it. Comptonize it.
Anti Drake.
Yeah, fair enough. And of course, he would be well at home. The actual answer to where Kendrick would live is, of course, the town of Compton within Wolverhampton, which is where the Wolves training ground
that's
is.
Ideal, then. Yeah, it works.
I got two of my six tattoos done in Compton.
Did you?
Ah. Yeah. Oh, Spikes, when it moved there, it was on the corner.
Spikes. I like that name. It's a good name for.
What about Tattoo Palace? Did you ever go there?
And I got another one.
Chapel
Ash. No, Spike. Oh no, it was Chapel Ash. Yeah. Anyway, I would like. I've thought about this. Barry White.
My first, my last, my everything.
I want the Walrus of Love walking in to Anfield, and within 2 weeks. I want him brawling with Evangelos Marinakis, the Nottingham Forest chairman. Oh. But yeah, I want Barry White taking him out.
That would be...
taking him out.
Battle of the big men. Yeah. Be like earthquake and typhoon. Oh, going after each other again.
It would be fantastic, that. That's a fucking great show.
Moving on. We've put it in the newsletter, so you might be bored of repurposing content, but the Everton family begging Richarlison to stay. It is one of my favourite videos of all time. There is so much going on.
Yeah, there is.
The kids are stood there, the music starts, two kids at the front, they've organised them. It's everything about it. It's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
So they've got the two of them there. The first kid doesn't really say much, he walks past. I'd like to know who's filming or how they've got the camera up. If you haven't seen it, just type in Richarlison, stay, Richie lad, whatever. And then the second kid's a teenager, so he goes, Richie lad, and just walks off because he doesn't want to be at camera. Then the fucking dad comes in.
I love dad.
The dad gives it all this and he thinks he's won. Then his wife brutally upstages him by just, she goes low.
She does.
Does the pigeon all the way through and just goes, Richie! And then goes off and you think, this is done. There are no more heroes to reveal themselves. And then granddad, I presume he's the wife's father. I don't know why. I just do.
I get that vibe.
And he comes walking in. He is steaming.
Yeah.
He's been drinking since noon.
Yeah.
And he just fucking comes through. He doesn't even look at the fucking thing. He's doing the dance. Quid, Ricky lad! And just goes off. And I reckon I've watched it 150 times and it never fails to just make me piss myself laughing.
Same here.
What I am always amazed by whenever it crops up is how it looks like it was filmed 20 years ago.
Yes, it does.
Good, Ricky Lad.
And it would have been filmed on an old Motorola.
Yes,
it does. And how long it takes to start.
And then been Bluetoothed around.
And as we know, he left.
Yeah.
Few of the interesting things from history. Now, the final episode of Fraser was in 2004. Now, not that I care for it that much, but I'd often wonder about the theme tune. Do you know what the tossed salad and scrambled eggs is referring to in the theme tune?
No, but it's going to be naughty, isn't it?
Go on. No, I don't.
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again. It's about the people who ring him up because he's a psychiatrist, so he's calling them tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Wow. Ah!
Toss salads. Look at them.
That's good.
They're back again.
Bit of oil going in there.
I tell you what.
They're podding again. Look at them. Oh, baby, I hear Sammy calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Brilliant. That's me.
They're podding again.
Toss. You get that is it now. Toss. Who's guilty?
Is there a salad option in Popeye?
It's just more chicken.
Just chicken.
What else is there? Steve and Gerrard FA Cup final. We don't need to talk about that apart from to say I was on my knees at the Belfry in front of the entire European tour at the time. Lee Westwood and the like and people like that.
Oh, no, that's a pretty good story.
Watching me down on my knees in front of the large TV.
Were any of them Liverpool fans? Any of the golfers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Darren Clark, Thomas Bjorn, people like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to get helicopters amazing. To games and shit.
That's amazing.
I think they might have got the helicopter to that game after playing in the morning. But yeah, there was a few there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And there was a West Ham fan as well. Obviously, I didn't cover myself in glory.
Tiger Woods, was it?
Glory. But I think that's how you'd explain Steven Gerrard to an
irons.
Alien, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh!
Good with his irons.
Oh, God.
Owen just looks sad.
Should we just stop at the end of season one?
No.
That's a great
show. Just good stuff.
Irons.
Yeah.
Finally, Tony Hawk, skateboarder extraordinaire and video game impresario and a very injured man.
Yeah.
From all the times he's fallen off his deck over the years. I just want to know everyone's skateboarding stories quickly.
Oh, God.
Oh.
We just used to. Bridge North is in a valley. And we know what valleys look like. So the River Severn is there in the middle and it goes up both sides. So it just keeps on going up until it stops. And then you get the road out to Shrewsbury and Ludlow. And we just used to go to the top of Queensway, which was a really steep hill, and lie down face first and go as fast as we could down it.
That's pretty good. That sounds a lot of fun.
You're just trying to land ollies down Purton, weren't you?
Well, actually, no. Skateboarding is in the same bracket of things that I'm terrible at, which is swimming. Not that great at swimming. Do it a lot. But I'm not that great at it.
Kick-ups.
Different genre, but ice skating.
Deadlines.
Ice skating, terrible at. And skateboarding.
Research.
When there's some...
Ice skating?
When there's something... Yeah, I'm terrible at it. I'm absolutely...
Same here, James.
Because it needs a form of streamlined...
I'm really good
at coordination.
Ice skating.
Sports with an element of chaos in, I'm great at. I can think on my feet and do my own thing.
Yeah. I tried to be good at skateboarding, but it was cooler in year 7 or 8. I'm talking 2001, 2002. To be into skateboarding, not as cool to be into football that time. Mm. I just remember going down Montmore Skate Park and thinking, I just wish I was playing football because I'm shit at this.
You have a chain hanging out of your jeans, did you?
That. Yeah, yeah. Limp Bizkit hoodie.
Did you?
Baggies, yeah.
If I'd have seen you in town, I'd have probably taken that chain off and whipped you with it.
And I'd have enjoyed it. That's the sad thing.
Just whipped him.
No, you wouldn't.
Whipped in the middle of the street.
He would have been about 22.
Why is that adult?
You wouldn't have enjoyed being mugged when you were 12 years old in town.
By a 22 year old.
Look at his face.
No one would enjoy that.
Well, to be fair, they'd close the youth centre, so.
Yeah, you know. Nicky's fags. Well, I'll have that hat as well.
My little airwalk hat. Quick silver bag.
Yeah. It's also on the day this podcast is released, Dan Burn's birthday, and we are all away to get our suits measured.
Yeovil legend.
Yes, yes.
Everyone's played for Yeovil, haven't they?
Scored the winner. To be fair, he did score the second, the winning goal.
Was he there when you were doing the fanzine?
No. No, he wasn't. No.
I've watched him 3 times live in the flesh when he's had to try to defend against Adama Traore. And it's been very upsetting.
But you say that. Where's Adama Traore now?
Fulham.
Yeah.
Been injured most of the season, but...
Where's Dan Burn?
Scored. I mean, he's at fucking Eddie Howe's boring, monotonous boy, isn't he?
Back at his boyhood club, playing in cup finals, nice, getting Champions his suit League. Measured, scoring goals in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Who's the real winner?
They got knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
But
better be in it than win.
Everyone gets knocked out apart from the winner.
In terms of specific.
What?
Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland. It is for the first Adventures in Clubland back of this, the new second series of Reminding You I Love Football. Our big mate in a big shirt He's been back to Yeovil. He's a Yeovil fan again. He's marching on to victory. He's respecting the turf. He's drinking cider. First big typo of Seb. Could you tell us who we're doing, Seb? And I'll just go quickly into the first typo.
Benedict Saul McCarthy.
And Seb's first line in his notes is staring Jose Mourinho. Okay.
Listen. Right. This is one of the most fun adventures in clubland that I think I've done, certainly, and most enjoyable. This is all about the South African player Benedict McCarthy, otherwise known as Benny, playing for Porto 2002-2006.
Now, of course, a Manchester United striker coach.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doing a great job.
Come on to. But I've had the pleasure, absolute pleasure, of listening to various podcasts with Benny McCarthy on to get deep into this, because What a man. Mm. Anyway, he ends up Porto because he's at Celta Vigo, and he has been, it's fair to say, ostracised by the Celta Vigo manager, Victor Fernandez. And, like, really badly. You know,
Isn't he a bit of a known bastard, Fernandez?
Yes.
Hasn't he got form?
Yes.
Benny McCarthy said he must have a lot of friends in a lot of high places when talking about him.
We will come back to him, actually, funnily enough. But he... So he ends up at Porto because Jose Mourinho has seen him. Obviously, Jose Mourinho is around Spanish football with Bobby Robson, Louis van Gaal, all around then. And he's even been spotted at training watching Celta Vigo training. It's an open training session. So he has a soft spot for this player called Benny McCarthy. He gets him in on loan, does really well, scores 11 goals in 12 games, I think it is. And unfortunately, Porto just haven't got the money to sign him. So he goes back to Celta Vigo.
Haven't got a Porto to piss in.
They have not.
Nice.
And he has to sort of watch from afar as Porto win the UEFA Cup, which he'd help get them get into with goals towards the end of the season. There's a new manager at Celta Vigo. He sort of gets given the chance again, but it doesn't quite work out. But in the summer of 2003, Porto have sold Helder Postiga to Tottenham. So they have a bit of cash. And Jose Mourinho wants one man and one man only to fill those boots. And that is Benny McCarthy.
Deadline day as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It went right down to the wire. And actually, Benny McCarthy took a drop in wages to make it all happen because he was just so desperate to get out of Celta Vigo. But this is a story of almost a football father and son. The way they speak about
it. I thought you were going to start rapping Fresh Prince then.
No. Here's a story all about how his life got flipped. No.
Actually, forget everything I said about Guy Garvey. I'd have Will Smith.
But there is a real respect, admiration. Jose Mourinho knows exactly what Benny McCarthy is like and needs as a player. Benny McCarthy knows what is required of him. Let's go back to the Mourinho's Porto, right? What a fucking team this is. I know it's easy to say, look, they won the Champions League. Of course, they're a good team. But you go through the whole team. Baier, Costa, Maniche, Pedro Mendes, Costinha. There's so many amazing, brilliant
players. Well, I like thinking of this team because, really, it represents the last time I could really like Mourinho.
This is it. It reminded me.
He looked incredible. Oh. Yeah. Incredible. If he turned up round yours, John is, I don't know...
Round my parents' house.
Here we go.
If you were getting a stepdad, Jose Mourinho would be a good stepdad at that time.
At that point.
You'd be like, fair play, Mum. He's turned up in his Lambo.
Yeah.
I love Dad. He's happier now. You're definitely going to be happier now.
That very Mediterranean combo of a tan and a grey suit.
The coat, everything.
The silver fox as well.
Soon changed when he became Chelsea manager, obviously.
This is it.
But he was, God.
Owen, I had the same thing. All the stories that Benny McCarthy tells. This is Mourinho when he was touted and called the next Brian Clough. Attacking adventurous football, great at man management and stuff like this. The key headline is they win the Champions League and Benny McCarthy is a key part of that. What's the one game that everyone remembers from this time? Even if you're not a Porto fan or a Man United fan, it's the Man United game. Now, go back to the first leg of this tie. Firstly,
I've done that in a kids game, by the way.
But Benny McCarthy. Oh God. Was it around that time or was it?
For the benefit of the listener, he is, of course, referring to Mourinho.
I'm pretending to run down the touchline
at Old Trafford.
No, it wasn't around the time. It was a few years later. But yeah.
Well, class. The first
leg. Like that to the opposition manager as well when I went past.
That's pretty good.
Reminding you why you love football. Sorry.
Two fingers up there.
But this is, exactly, this is the first leg of this game. Benny McCarthy scores two brilliant striker goals. One volley, one half volley that just nestles in the corner from a brilliant cross from Alenichev. But the header to make it 2-1, the crucial goal, which ends up being the crucial goal, is just, he gets in between Wes Brown and Gary Neville, right? And they are two extremely good defenders. You know, I know people can joke about Gary Neville can play for England, blah, blah, blah. But at this time, Gary Neville's one of the best right backs. You know, Wes Brown is a fucking good centre back.
Yeah.
He leaps in between them. And this looping header.
I'm not necessarily sure about that.
That goes into the corner is just, is incredible. And Alex Ferguson said it's one of the best headers he's ever seen.
Can I just tell you something? That me and my mates, whenever Wes Brown used to come on the telly, we knew him as Wes Clown, and we'd make the like a clown's noise and say he was there. There's Wes Brown squirting his flour into the striker's face to stop him scoring.
For goodness sake.
Orange everywhere. Come and have a go if you dare.
Statman Dogue used to sing that at university all the time.
So they go. So that takes them into the second leg, obviously, and where the incredible happens. Now, one thing to remember from this moment, the celebration that everyone remembers all comes about from a free kick in the third minute of injury time. Deco is the usual free kick taker for Porto. He's missed three or four chances from free kicks, and Benny McCarthy stood around hoping he might get it. And Jose Mourinho is going absolutely mad on the sidelines, going, Benny, Benny, Benny. He then has to tell Jorge Costa, you know, the big mid-30, to sprint, to go and tell Benny McCarthy to take this free kick.
Like watching you run for a bus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And he gets to him and he says to him, and Deco's really upset, going, oh, no, no. But Benny McCarthy sees this as his chance. Now, he's a boyhood.
Is that a submarine being dry docked?
So Benny McCarthy sees this as his chance. And the free kick, you know what happens with it? It's a brilliant free kick, but and Tim Howard's flailing all over the place. Can only palm it out to Costinha.
Tim Howard's
He falls into the net, doesn't he? And then Costinha, who's running in, slots it in. Mourinho does a celebration. Then,
Tim
that,
the Dot.
Everyone remembers that, but then they still have to go and beat Lyon, who were fucking brilliant at the
time. At the time, Lyon were Lyon, like Monaco. Moneybags Lyon.
Monaco had knocked out Real Madrid, and they spatter them in the final.
Yeah. Oh, Morientes. Exactly. It was when he was on loan, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And scored against them.
Exactly. And the best interview I listened to, and I know I go back to him again, but the Graham Hunter Big Interview podcast.
He is good.
It's masterful.
It's a great interview.
He's a brilliant interviewer, but he also gets such great stuff out.
And I think it's probably worth saying to anyone listening to this, and you know, is that we've come to know Graham well enough individually and collectively as part of Mundial, and he's just a really fucking sound bloke.
Oh, one of the absolute best.
Really, really sound bloke and generous with his time whenever we do stuff. We always try and pay him and he always says no.
Yeah.
The voice notes that he leaves me in response to just like a one-line text are just, they're wonderful.
But
wonderful.
Great voice as well.
Fuck off, James, and stop asking me about the weather forums. But I'm not storm chasing with you, Jamie.
I think he would, actually.
Yeah.
He described...
I think he would.
You'd have to have a cerveza at the end of it.
Yeah.
But
Graham, do you want to chase a Columbus cloud across Basque country?
Yeah. Oh, he'd love it. But he talks about this whole season, and it's a magical, magical season. It's Mourinho when he's fucking great and people love him.
Living in Porto, it's great city.
Underdog winning the champion, underdog, so to speak, but no one expected them to win the Champions League.
No, they were an underdog.
Yeah.
I know they'd won it before. They'd won the UEFA Cup
the season before, but still, it's still a massive thing to... And Benny McCarthy speaks about football in the most... we're on a podcast called Reminding You Why You Love Football. I've rarely heard a footballer be so eloquent and so happy talking about such minute details of football. And it's just, he loved being a footballer and loved being part of this team. And he's a Champions League winner. You know, he didn't even start the final, but he wasn't that arsed. He wanted to get on at some point, but he knew that it was all part of the team. They changed the system ever so slightly. Carlos Alberto started instead of him. And he eventually gets on, but just the joy that he has.
And of course, won the Bola de Prata that season.
Won the Portuguese...
20 goals in 23 games.
Of course, won the Bola de Prata.
Yeah.
You've just read that.
Yeah.
And of course, really, bloody...
I wrote the brief for this. I just had to remember the name.
Of course. Needless to say, he won.
I'm assuming we all know.
But it goes without saying.
All the players knew him as the son of Mourinho.
I spent 3 hours with Benny McCarthy yesterday.
He did. All the players knew Benny McCarthy as Mourinho's son.
Oh, no.
He's done. He's gone.
Oh. I'll get me coat.
And I think the big sadness, McCarthy went to Blackburn. He gets, obviously, this puts him in the, he says, once he scored those goals against Man United, he's linked with Premier League clubs forever, ever, from that point onwards. He eventually goes to Blackburn, second top scorer in the Premier League.
Which Blackburn is this?
Mark Hughes. Yeah. You know, decent, and he speaks greatly about Mark Hughes. Thinks he's a
Mourinho tried to sign him at Chelsea as well.
This Mark Hughes?
Mourinho tried to sign
McCarthy
to take to Chelsea, and there's a real sadness in that. He would have worked under not just Mourinho again, and who was someone who he obviously loved, and but he would have been in up front with the fucking Gronkjars, the Robins, the Joe, you know,
the Gronkjars,
the Gronkjars, you know,
of all the players who played in that incarnation of the Chelsea team, he's gone for Jesper Gronkjars.
The suppliers.
Tell me your name, Seb White, without telling me you're Seb White.
But the players, he would have just
Damien Duff.
He would have been
Duffer, Joe Cole, yeah,
Joe Cole,
and actually is. Exactly. His career does unfold. And he says he lost his head a little bit because he so wanted that move to happen. But
it was in your garage, was it?
Yeah. Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
It's me and Benny.
But honestly, go and listen to the big interview of him.
Yeah.
And now, even listening to him now, he has to become a manager at some point. He's done all his badges. He's a coach at Man United.
He has been a manager, hasn't he?
Sorry, he's been a manager in South Africa, but he wants to be a manager in Europe, and obviously, he has to be. It would be amazing. I'd love to see him. I've honestly developed a real fucking interest and affection for him.
With most, pretty much all footballers, you can see how they. You can have a good guess at what they played like when they were a kid.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Beckham, very spindly, not too quick, but just pinging in corners and dead balls. You've seen the archive footage.
We've seen it. Well, exactly. Yeah,
it's very easy.
Yeah, but
to
it
say.
Matches what you think.
Like. Conor Gallagher, I imagine, just ran around a lot. Yeah. He did good stuff because he was better, but really just ran around a lot.
Yeah.
But with Benny McCarthy, I bet you it was great to watch when he was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before tactics became too much of a thing and more off the ball work and blah, 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 blah. He had a great, you know, an amazing individuality about him. Not being overcoached.
Overcoached.
And there's nothing, sometimes overcoaching is a good thing, but in that sense, I loved McCarthy because it was a liquidity to him, like the way he moved. Oh God, what a finisher. Exceptional finisher. Great movement, you know, knew when to stand still. Knew when to, you know, wasn't always running around, knew when to stand still.
This is what he said. He said, if he'd gone to Chelsea, I'd have been a different player because I would have just stood still because your Gronkies, your Robins, they would have just given me the ball and I would have just scored. Because even then he's thinking, well, what outside, you know, not just I'm going to go there and score goals. How am I going to score goals?
His first team in Europe, who were Ajax,
yeah,
of course. And he came to Ajax in the sort of like dying embers of the 95 team that won the Champions League. So like your Kluivert, your Seedorf, your Overmars,
your Davids.
They've all gone. Your David, they've all left. He scores sort of 10 goals as a 19-year-old, his first team in Europe, and he looks so fucking good in an Ajax shirt.
He played in what was known as the gangster leagues in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So he was playing properly for a club in Cape Town, but at weekends there was this gangster league where the local gangsters, drug dealers, whatever, would have their own teams, and people would flood to these games, and he got paid five times more money, you know, cash in.
Played in the gangster league.
Yeah,
I'd love to make a documentary about that.
Honestly, it sounds amazing. It sounds like it sounded incredible.
And of course, he he moved to Edinburgh in 2013 because his wife always wanted to move there.
Seb, there was,
we all knew that though, right?
Yeah.
The reason I knew about his managerial period at Cape Town was because I saw a video of, and it was why I was laughing when you said about how eloquent and calm he spoke about, and brilliantly spoke about football. Because the manager from the opposite team, he might call him a cunt.
Yeah.
I think he calls Benny McCarthy a cunt. And McCarthy just goes, who the fuck are you calling a cunt? Look at you. You've only won this and this. Look at what I've won. You're the cunt.
Don't get
fantastic.
He's a good swearer. Him and Graham Hunter, he's a good swearer.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
When it can turn.
Yeah.
I reckon but then he'd be fighting your corner.
And so he's still the striker coach at United.
There was a piece just last week, there was a piece recently that said that was probably not going to carry on.
Right, okay.
But Rashford did last season when he had his good season, 31 goals. He put a lot of it down to Benny McCarthy.
Said McCarthy had really, really helped him. Yeah.
So he was a big fan. Benny McCarthy was, you know, there were small swarms of fans singing his name in the Stretford End just because of Really? Rashford's form. Yeah.
But it's a real 10, old school.
10, 20, 30 people.
That's fucking lovely.
It's a real old school champion football manager thing, isn't it? Yeah. When players start retiring and you've got like Ronaldo as your forwards Ronaldinho as your forwards coach and stuff like that.
Yeah. Everyone around my age is like, fucking hell.
Benny McCarthy's sick.
There he is.
I bet he was still knocking them in training as well.
It's just a shame you've got Jesper Gronkjaer teaching Anthony.
Did you see that thing with Anthony and his Sonic the Hedgehog?
No.
He's had his own photographer going around all season, carrying this Sonic the Hedgehog so he can celebrate when he scores, and it's taken 7 months. He's gone and pulled it out of the crowd, not a photo.
That's hilarious. Oh, I didn't know that.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I reckon I've completed Sonic the Hedgehog, the OG one, 150 times, because my littlest brother, Fergal, who's 18 years younger than me, when I used to go down to my dad's, he'd want to watch me do it.
And on the Sega.
And then I was living there and he'd make me do it. On
Mega Drive.
Sega! The noise. Can you imagine Owen, pretty hungover, and others. every Sunday, me and Dr. Robotnik.
Fucking hell.
I love him.
It has to be said, what a game.
What a game he was.
No, but what a game that was. Genuinely, like...
It was. It's, yeah.
The first Sonic.
On the Mega Drive. Incredible.
That and Mario.
Incredible.
What's everyone's thoughts on Knuckles? I think he was pretty cool.
quite cool.
Listener, he hasn't written this one down. It's just come.
Did you know?
Of course, famous for winning the Ballon d'Or Hedgehog in 2003.
A Man United fan, signified by the colour red. Knuckles.
Needless to say, the greatest coin gatherer of 1999.
Knuckles.
Well, he was Scrappy Doo, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like Birdo is to you. You're very Scooby.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's the type of noise you make on a daily basis.
Walking down the steps on the bus.
Yeah.
What's that fella doing?
Scooby Doo. It sounded like Scooby Doo, but it looks, I know, it doesn't look like him. Birdo running behind you, arguing with people in your wake.
Yeah, I can see all this.
All right, I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's a fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks, too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. As part of some of the other feedback we got was really you'd listen to episodes of us just doing ins and outs. So based on something we did for the 50th episode, which wasn't the last, we are doing two lots of ins and outs, football and non-football. So I'm going to go straight in at the football ins and outs, and I'm going to start with mine, is earlier... In the week we're recording,
I don't know what it is.
Earlier in the week we're recording, Alan Pardew was paid, I don't know by who, to release a statement. Well, not to release a statement, but someone's paid him. It's TalkSport or a betting company. Pards said that Man United need a new manager. They should get Mark Robins in. Former player, knows the club. Now, Mark Robins hasn't been to Manchester United for over 30 years. And you know what? Maybe he's a really good manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just such a fucking stupid. It's like, Bards, come on, you've got to say something mental.
Yeah.
We'll give you £2,000 if you say something mental.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Bards has fucking walked in and he, do you know what I mean?
I'll have it in cash, please.
Yeah. So, two things here. Forget Mark Robbins being Manchester United manager. Imagine if by some twist of fate,
Pards
had a load of info on Jim Radcliffe.
No.
And he ends up as Man United manager. Imagine now, Ten Hag out, Pards in. But I'll tell you what, though, he'd clear out the dead wood.
He would, yeah. Who would he keep?
Do you think he would? Or not think he'd try and be their mate, all of their mates, and like...
Yeah. He might get a bit starstruck.
He's just such a smarmy man.
Can you imagine Nicking Rashford's dinner? Just for banter. Yeah, he tries to get his kids fed. I need his sausage and chips. Fucking hell. Now I'm fucking hell. Now I'm fucking messes with the king. But he did do that. That's an actual story, isn't it, when he was a manager?
Yep.
Took a player's dinner his dinner and sat in his place and ate it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Do you remember when he did that dance as well against us in the FA Cup final?
Yeovil legend. Had a couple of seasons at Yeovil. We sold him to Palace, yeah.
Fucking hell.
I don't know what's in here, but it's mine, so they're always in. Seb. Oh, fucking surprise, surprise. Come on, then.
Surprise, surprise.
Come on, Seb.
A surprise couple of pints watching grassroots football on a Sunday afternoon.
Surprise to who?
I went to go and watch.
No. Surprise to who?
Quel surprise.
Because every time you go to football, you drink. No.
I wasn't planning to on this particular occasion. It was just across the road. Ava's coach at football, her team was playing. They could win the league.
Do you remember when you used to do stuff like this, Tommy?
I wasn't meaning
to drink today, but...
Every
fucking day. The bar was open.
Here we are again.
Yes. It was a surprise. There was a pub a mile and a half down the road, and I just had to walk past it. And I went in, and then I had 3 pints, and it was such a surprise.
Seb went to watch some grassroots women's football on his own on a Sunday afternoon and got slotted out. Tommy.
You're taking away the fun from it.
Playing walking football with my dad. We won 3-0. We bickered at each other a couple of times.
I've seen the videos. It looks slow.
It is slow.
They're walking. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing.
No, but even then. Is Ian struggling with his knees?
Big time. Yeah, I thought big time. So. Yeah.
It looked like he was. No offence, Ian. I struggle with my knees, but he looked...
There was one. I loved it.
Sorry, really fucking wholesome. Really.
No,
wholesome.
I know.
3-0 playing my dad.
No offense.
It looks slow as your dad got something wrong with his knees.
The first thing I told him when I got off that pitch is the message you sent. When I said I was just filming live, I was like, he's got the ball. And you, what did you say about it? You're like, oh, he's
fucked that.
Yeah, and I told him that, and my dad just went, bastard. I was like, Owen's slagging off your game here, Dad.
But it was a terrible pass.
It was a terrible pass.
But anyway, he had
one flash where he had a bit, because we used to call him Dimitar Dadatov, because when they were younger, him and Berbatov looked quite similar, around 30.
Oh, yeah.
The bald head and all that, and the dark hair. But he did a little sort Dimitar of flick, Dadatov. The little flick around the corner. He had one moment, I was like, you're enjoying this still, but
no, yeah. That's good. It is lovely. James, in, by the way, very
Thank
much
you.
In.
Yeah. Thank you.
Lovely. Listening to like British broadcasts of sport whilst you're abroad.
I don't think you've done this once. I think you've done this 100 times on this podcast, in the magazine, in the fucking pub.
No. But
Birdo's on about the radio again.
Okay. But let me explain. So I was on my own for work in the south of Italy. I was feeling a little bit lonely, actually, and I just dropped the photographer off at the airport. But I was driving back, the sun was setting, and I realised that on the digital radio in the car, past scrolling through all the Italian radio stations, was BBC World Service. And when I put it on, it was their weekly Sports World show.
Nice.
And it was just after Leverkusen had won the Bundesliga, and it was an hour long broadcast of, and it just rooted me in home.
Yeah.
Despite being away and despite being on my own, it rooted me.
Love it.
Yeah. Ian, I suppose. I put it in every other time. I put it in the mag. I've subbed it. Yeah, I like the radio too. Good.
Yeah.
Outs. I was going to talk about FA Cup replays, but it's been a while. But it's just fucking shit.
No, I'm glad you did. Oh,
let's just say shit. Just take it away after the third round.
Yeah.
Or come up with some rule where the smaller clubs don't get fucked. Just do something where it's not more They've taken all FA Cup replays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is FA Cup replays being out is out.
Yeah. I understand why, by the time you get to the quarters and stuff like that, it shouldn't be in, and it wasn't. Fine. Yeah.
That's
get
fine.
It. Fixture congestion. But really,
we've spoken about what it's done for our non-league clubs before, these fixtures.
No,
massive.
The first to third round is.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's choking another institution like the NHS, and it's just you slowly cut away around it until people don't care about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because what they really want to do is get rid of it.
Yeah, of course.
And bring a new cup in where the small teams aren't in it, and they would just have a Premier League cup. That's where the game is going.
Yeah.
It made me as
private healthcare Premier League
cup. Of course. It's really, really fucking sad.
Yeah.
One of my favourite moments in my whole life was a first-round replay away at Hereford.
And
you're taking away potential of someone enjoying the emotion and stuff. First to third round, I get it. After third round,
I could
live with that.
Yeah.
But if people have been talked to as well, this is the worst thing about it all.
Yeah.
No one's been spoken to.
Yeah.
So all of that's out. Modern life. you're mental. James Bird, what's your out?
People moaning about number of games. I want as many games as possible.
You could be watching the J League now if you wanted. It's on YouTube on a Friday morning. It doesn't
Sometimes
just need
I
to
do.
Be more Premier League.
Sometimes
games.
I just mean more games.
Yeah.
What I mean is people moaning about having to play football matches when that is their job.
It's your job to play football matches. Stop moaning
Roy
about
Keane
it.
Roy Keane over it.
Is he getting you to do him a sizzle reel for Talksport or something?
Mark Robbins, Man United manager.
Stop moaning about still being in a cup competition. You're still in a cup competition.
That's correct.
Enjoy it. Understand that your fans are going to enjoy watching you in that. And then, you might have a game 3.5 days later that kicks off at 12 instead of at 3. Enjoy it. You're playing football.
Pep's got two starting 11s.
All of it. It's too much.
Okay.
What are you doing about that? In all right?
Just going to move on and let you calm down a little bit. Seb.
Every time I walk downstairs in the house now, there's at least three different footballs that are just floating around. And my daughter is constantly trying to nutmeg me. And I say trying to, succeeding on many different occasions.
Does she say nuts or megs?
Good
megs.
Question.
Okay. Really?
She says megs, yeah.
Yeah, an aristocrat, I see.
That's great.
Rare, medium
Richmond.
Rare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does live in Richmond.
No, but that must have come from, what did you say growing up in Yeovil?
I think I...
Knock down ginger! Pigs!
Very good.
Call it pigs.
I'm trying to...
Through the hatch.
On the rare occasion I'm in the kitchen, which I admit is not as often as it should be, and I'm trying to do some cooking, I'm just like trying to avoid just getting megged all the time.
That's not out at all.
Constant.
That's it.
That's
keep them closed, brother.
Quite a big target as well if you split your legs,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I've got no chance. And my lack
of
coordination.
Passing the ball through the Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, very true, very true. Fair.
That's not out. In. Tommy.
The bureaucracy of the referees at Walking Football. Now, you were saying the game looks very slow, and that seems to be... I've played Walking Football a couple of times down the years with my dad, and there seems to be different rules for different blokes. Some... If they have like a certain injury, it's like they seem to be running, but they're not. And then there's this rule about you can't tackle from anywhere. Behind. Unless, you can't tackle from behind.
This is why I can't become a Walking Footballer.
Oh, mate.
Never play.
I was giving away fouls like every... I don't understand. I'm just putting my foot in lightly. I'm not even... I got squashed by a bloke.
I'll be off.
Yeah.
Descent. It may come as no surprise to you that I've had a lot of red cards for mouth.
Yeah,
and, if some fucking jumped up gobshite who can't even play walking football, can't even referee normal football, he has to be a walking referee.
Yeah,
starts fucking booking me for breaking into a trot.
Sorry, lads, if you're listening, because they all said they want to listen to the podcast. But
if I was playing walking football, right, let's say I'm 55, whatever, and there's some fucking 70-year-old bloke, and they've bypassed the press and he's through on goal
the cunt's
just fucking slowly walking towards the goal with the goal. I'd just have sorry grandad.
Yeah. That's it.
It's sorry, grandad. Last man.
That's it.
That's the hardest.
You can't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. I would not be able to resist.
Definitely out. James, something you've just said.
Sorry, grandad.
As you talked about whack. Yeah. There's a video doing the rounds on the internet at the moment of an 8-year-old kid taking out this woman who's drinking wine with a slide tackle. She's like, she's got a Sauvignon in hand, like some big white flowery trousers.
I have seen that.
White vest, and she's sort of playing with one kid. And she's got actually decent feet, to be honest. And then she turns around, and whoever the big brother is comes in, he's carrying something. He's just seen it and gone, runs across, fucking melt, woof, takes her down. And do you know what? She fucking doesn't spill a drop.
Oh, does she not?
Good on her.
Laughs, come back off and walks off, covered in shit.
My kind of girl.
Yeah. Class.
Moving on to the non-football internet.
Sorry.
Dial F for football. Because Brilliant. It's not really about football. So Dial F for football, I've recently, just last night, listened to the 6th episode, is a new scripted podcast. And I would say it's my favourite new podcast for a long, 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 long time, because it's a real breath of fresh air. And it's the executive producer and creator is our very good friend Ty Popola, who we worked on Giant with. But he was talking about this to me and Seb when we first met him, and we were travelling around the US, and it's taken, well, 5-6 years to come to fruition. He's done a lot of brilliant work in the meantime, but fucking hell, he's burnt some bridges, because Tyo's worked at TalkSport and other commercial radio stations. And he's basically, and the people who've written it as well, I must say, there's some very good talent working on it. Fucking hell, he's used it to set us some scores. So it's called Total Sport. And some of the, like, stitched in adverts are brilliant. It's like, Total Sport, chat shit, get banged. And stuff like that. But I listened to the episode last night, and the episode was called Sports Washing. And the first bit is a Newcastle fan on, and they're going, and the host goes, but your owners are an oil slave state. Yeah. And he goes, aye, but they're passionate people, like. and then they're going, right then, we're going to read a list of people who you would or wouldn't have owned in your football club. ISIS. And the bloke pauses and goes, well, you know, if they get us playing free-flowing football, I guess. And there's more. There was more things like that. And I just, it's brilliant to see in a world of, ever decreasing races to the bottom with content, to see something like that get made. It's a genuine highlight.
Exactly.
And I started looking forward to it again. Whereas I would say a lot of the rest of my podcast rotation now is things I listen to fall asleep. Mm. That's in.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. Well done, Ty.
James Bird.
I don't know what it is.
Well, you only put it in about 20 minutes ago. You kind of forgot it yet.
Swapping Instagram for Duolingo.
Okay. Fe-fe-fe, 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 Chrissy Waddle.
I've decided that I'm taking the hit. I've sort of...
Taking the hit? I'm learning another language.
I'm replacing mindless scrolling with learning something.
Yeah.
Because I haven't learned anything for a long, long time. I haven't learned a new skill, or I haven't learned a new... task. I haven't learned...
There's no way this is going in.
Why?
Because there's about 7 new skills I've been on here for 8 years to learn that would make all our lives easier. When you fucking start with them.
You know what
You're
I mean.
A senior member of staff.
You know what I mean.
Not all, I bloody well, no, yeah.
A language, a trade, something like that.
A trade?
Well, what sort of trade? Yeah, well, what sort of...
Plumber.
I'd fucking love to go on a plumbing course. So that I'd never have to call out a plumber again. So I could do it. I would love to know how to do it. I would love to do an electrician course.
You can't remember to send an email. Are you going to fucking be a plumber?
But this is my fucking point.
You want to learn how to do...
Learning things is a good...
A trade. What trade?
I agree. I'm just taking the piss. I agree.
Yeah.
If it makes you happy, in. Tommy.
Luke Little, there's a video of him recently playing football, but I also watch the darts every week. And...
Forget the darts for a minute.
Well, yeah. Should we do it? Let's talk about the football.
Straight up baller.
I could not believe it I was seeing. But it's not just his left foot is good, it's the way he hits it.
Yeah.
And the position, the body position. He's played like he's taken a lot of free kicks.
Yeah.
Lowish, yeah.
I would love nothing more to see Michael van Gerwen's big fucking round grid absolutely gutted when he gets beaten to the Premier League by Luke Littler. I cannot wait for that.
Which I think he will.
Because van Gerwen's turn to the camera and roar is the most annoying thing in sport.
Agreed. Yeah. It's scary. It's unsettling. Yeah, no. I love the way he carries himself, Luke Littler. That's what it is. What
carries himself?
Yeah, when he gets, he's so cocky and he looks at the camera and shit. It's different.
I reckon you'd be a good professional darts player.
Seb.
Because there's a lot of gamesmanship, isn't there? Two reasons you'd be good. One, you just lean over and place it. And two, Phil Taylor was. They reckon Phil Taylor won 4 or 5 of his world titles just by the extreme flatulence he displayed on finals night. Just put his opponent off. He was known for it, Phil Taylor.
I didn't know this.
Leaving one in, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
And you with your IBS with the nerves of being in front of a big crowd.
And the 4 pints beforehand, yeah.
They wouldn't be able to go up after you.
No, they wouldn't.
Outs. I'm going to talk very quickly about commuter trains with no tables. I pay a lot of money to get the train. And sometimes, all the time, I get a train probably post 6:30, if not post 7, to get home. It's an hour journey. I sometimes like to watch something or do some more work or whatever. And quite often, and it happens in the mornings as well. Mm. There's 12 coaches and there's no seats. Yeah. Not even a first class you can sit in and say, come on, mate.
Yeah.
And get up. So you just can't do anything. And you pay the same price.
Yeah.
And they're fucking cold and horrible.
Yeah.
And if I paid a tenner, I'd accept it. So hopefully I would nationalisation of the railways. Do you know what? If the trains are a little bit more basic, fine. Yeah. I don't care. Because I won't be paying £1 million a day.
Yeah,
but when I'm paying £1 million a day, I expect to be able to have a shit in the morning if I want one and do some work. Yeah, the same on the way home.
Yeah, you're spot on. I feel you.
But they don't need any toilets, just a bucket under the seat.
Oh, just a table.
I've been caught 3 times pissing into cups on trains.
Have you?
Yeah.
Caught?
When you're with the drink, or?
Funnily enough, every time.
Who saw?
The conductor. Well, loads of people saw, but I got caught by the conductor. Yeah.
Loads of people.
What did the conductor say when he saw?
He came over and said,
stop pissing in a cup.
I was pissing in a Burger King cup, a big one. And he's come, he said, what are you doing? I said, sorry, every toilet is broken.
Yeah.
And it's, I was living close to Tunbridge then, which was a 50-minute journey, say, and that's too long.
Yeah.
If you've had 6 pints. Yeah. Yeah. To go without a piss?
Yeah.
So what do you want me to do? Piss myself?
Yeah.
Piss straight into the bin, which I've done before. Or piss into this cup, calmly put the top back on, and then when I get to the station, place it in a bin. So that's out. James Bird.
Out with my big varicose vein.
No way to talk about Seb, he sat right next to me.
I've had a varicose vein in my left leg since I was 17 years old. It's a genetic thing from my father. And it's been causing me a lot of grief as of recently. And I went to the doctor yesterday.
The only big unsightly thing you got off your daddy's hip?
He means my nose.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
But I went to the doctor yesterday and it looks like finally it's going to be not considered a cosmetic issue and it is going to be considered a health issue. So I'm going to be able to go and get it removed.
Nice.
So
I think I got gaslit by my doctor yesterday, by the way, talking about all that. I was like, I said, my spots, you've given me all these creams, you've given me all these different medications, all these pills. And I was like, they've just stayed. They're not really getting any better or worse. Yeah. He's like, no, they are. They are getting better. And I was like, but you've never seen me in the flesh. This is the first. I've only spoke to you over the phone. He goes, yeah, but look, they don't look that bad today. I was like, yeah, but that's just today.
And what's your out here, Tom?
Oh, here we go. Food poison on holiday. It's happened to me 2 or 3 times.
Because
now.
I can tell you, just stop eating pizza all the time and you'll have less spots.
I do not eat. Come on now. I'm a good eater. I've lost weight. I'm looking the best actually, I've looked in a couple of years.
You've had food poisoning 3 times since I last saw you. No wonder you've lost weight. Shitting through the Ivor Needle.
Tommy, are these food poisoning occasions all from when you go to Spain with your dad?
It's happened in Paris. It's happened in Spain. And it's happened in Stockholm. And it just seems
just to be... Just not a good traveller, are you?
I think it's that. Valium as well. Valium and...
And planes, you're
the volume for the flight. Yeah, yeah. Could be that.
I think it is.
Food poisoning is out.
Thank you.
Seb.
Ticketing fuck up by an avid listener of this podcast, meaning now I've not actually got a ticket for Fontaines DC.
Are you calling out a listener?
Who's hurt you?
Alexander Daniel.
You calling out Alex Daniel on the podcast?
You trusted Alex Daniel to get you tickets for something.
He's normally quite good, to be fair.
He's a ticket
dog. He's normally quite good, to be fair.
He's a ticket dog.
So, yeah.
Is this the lad I met on the train?
Yeah, if anyone's got a spare ticket for Fontaines DC at Ali Pally on Friday night in November, please.
Not so good at music tickets, but if you want an overnight sleeper train to Edinburgh, he's your man.
Exactly, yeah.
This has been reminding you why you love football.
Yeah, love that.
Episode 1, Season 2, we are back. We've got a new issue out, an old issue. We've got issues out all the time. Go to Mundell and subscribe. I've been Owen Blackhurst. We've been at Spiritland. He's been James Bird. He's been Taste Bud White. And he has been Tommy Stewart. And thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
Good to be back.
Nice one, Owen.
Reminding you why you love football is a Mundell and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.